name of Jesus, more powerful than any other name. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for sending your son so that we can have relationship with him. So that we can have relationship with you. And so that we can have life. A joyful, fulfilling life, celebrating your goodness. God, I pray that this morning as we continue to talk with the Holy Spirit and as we continue to just walk through this journey together, I pray that our ears would be open, our heart would be open, and we would listen, and we would be excited of what the Holy Spirit brings and does in our lives. God, we thank you that we have opportunities to gather together and grow together. God, I pray right now that even as we're just eating dinner later together during our potluck lunch, that we would connect on a level with each other that would just allow us to be a more powerful force in this community, God, that we would know the power of unity together. And Father, right now for the kids that are preparing to go to Sunday school, God, I pray that you would just bless them, open up their ears, settle their spirits, and settle their bodies, Father, so that they can hear what Stacy has to teach, God. God, I pray they'll have a good time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Kids, you can go with Stacy. Thank you, music team. You guys can have a seat. That's okay, Terry.
Okay.
I won't kick that one. It's right. This music stand that I keep, or this microphone stand that I keep knocking over. So, yesterday I got to go to, well, Friday night I got to go to Moose Jaw and watch the girls play some soccer, so it was a lot of fun. Nora got trampled yesterday a little bit, a couple times, three times, four times. She got bowled over, and they were playing a U-17 soccer team, so for the U-15 girls, they did pretty good. Nora took a couple injuries, but we're believing for healing right now. That's what we were praying for. She injured her wrist pretty bad and thought she had broken it, but we're praying and we know that she's healed in Jesus' name. So I'm going to set that there and hopefully I don't spill. So we're in our series, Conversations About the Holy Spirit, and this is week three of the series, and it's a series that I hope encourages you about the person of the Holy Spirit. As I've said every week, you know, there's this mysterious aspect, the part that people don't understand, questions, misrepresentations, misinterpretations of who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit does in us and through us as we follow Jesus, right? And we talked in the first week about how the Spirit is life. The Spirit is life. And the Spirit brings life, the Spirit draws us back to life, and the Spirit restores life in Christ. And we talked about how when Adam was created, that was the version that God had intended of being fully human. But then when Adam sinned, it kind of drew us away from what it meant to be really human and in full relationship with Jesus, or with God. But the Spirit brings us back to that life and gives us that opportunity to have that breath back. And what Scripture tells us is you can't even know Jesus without the Holy Spirit. We can't know God without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is essential to life. And last week we talked about the Spirit as guide. And the Holy Spirit guides us to Jesus. He guides us continually and constantly to Jesus. And then we also talked about how the Holy Spirit guides us to being more like Jesus. And if you're more like Jesus, you're better able to obtain and contain whatever it is that you're doing. So this week we're going to talk about the Spirit as communicator. So I got a question, just a show of hands, okay? Have you ever been speechless? Speechless. I know. Oh, Nathan, you actually put your hand up. Shocks me. Just teasing. But I think at one point or another in our life, we have all felt speechless about something. And we have phrases for this like tongue-tied or brain freeze. I just couldn't get my thoughts out. We're at a loss for words. But there's times when we are completely speechless and the Holy Spirit gives us the words to say. So describing something too awesome for words is something that the Holy Spirit helps us do, right? The Holy Spirit can help us describe something that is too awesome for words. So there are times in our lives as believers that we cannot find the words to describe how amazing, how awesome that God is. Would you agree? Like humanly, we can't. We can't describe how awesome God is. Can we? I don't think we talked last week about how the English language is awful to communicate. Like it doesn't communicate and translate well into other languages. So how can it possibly describe all the goodness of God and how awesome God is? Language fails us sometimes. And John had a front row seat to watching being a part of Jesus' 3 years of public ministry. And John heard Jesus say, "I'm going away. I have completed my Messiah mission here on earth, and I'm returning to the Father. And I'm going to send someone, I'm going to send a counselor." And when Jesus says he's sending someone else is coming, he means just like the one that left. So it's not the Holy Spirit, when he was saying, "I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, I'm going to send a counselor," he's not meaning, "I'm going to send someone not quite as good as me." He's close, but he's not quite as good. It's another, the same power, the same authority, the same, just like the first. The Holy Spirit is just like Jesus. And in John 14:16, he says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor." And the word counselor in the Greek actually means paraclete, which means advocate, comforter, counselor. It means someone who's coming along and gives you the house that you need when you need it. And later in the conversation in John 14:26, John tells us the counselor or advocate is what? Let's read it. It says, "But when the Father sends the advocate as my representative," that's the Holy Spirit, "he will teach you everything and will remind you everything that I've told you." Right? Is it just me or is it really dry? My mouth feels dry. Sorry. I'm going to be taking lots of drinks because I feel so dry. And Luke writes about this just before Jesus goes up to heaven, right? Acts 1:4-5 says, "Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, 'Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit,'" right? "And if we keep reading, 'But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and the ends of the earth.'" That's Acts 1:8. So they did what Jesus said. Acts 1 describes the events. They went back to Jerusalem, went to this large building, gathered in an upper room that could hold about 120 people. It's factual. It's what's written in Acts, right? And people of different generations and genders are there. We know that. That's fact. And we know this because Jesus' mother was there. His brothers were there. And disciples were there. Plus many other followers. And Acts 1:14 tells us that they all joined together constantly in prayer. So they're praying, they're regrouping, they're processing what just happened. And as Mary said, today's Palm Sunday. So not too long earlier, a couple months earlier, what was happening? Jesus was riding in on a donkey into Jerusalem, victoriously. Donkey, I know it's not the first thing we think of when we think of a king riding in. But people are waving palm branches. They're laying them down on the ground before him as he's coming in, so he's not riding in the dirt. And they're shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna." And then, not too long after that, Jesus is taken right in front of these disciples, right? He's taken and he's beaten, he's crucified in front of them, and then he's buried. It's a tough thing when people pass away, we and your friends, you're close to them, you don't fully have a full grasp of what's happening, you need to compute that, you need to comprehend, what did I just see, what just happened? But then 3 days later, Jesus is risen. Like, how do you compute that? I mean, yes, he told them, but they didn't fully grasp what it all meant. So then, after he's risen 3 days later, then he starts showing up among them. And there's, like, is he a ghost? What is he? What was going on there? And there's all sorts of misunderstanding, mistruths, people talking, trying to understand. But then for a time being, he's there and he's just sharing and ministering and teaching. And it's an amazing time. And then he's taken up to heaven in front of them. How do you compute that? So they got to process this. They got to regroup. They're gathering. And they were told to gather and don't leave. It's a bit to process, isn't it? But on top of that, they were preparing. They're positioning themselves to go out as Jesus had told them and wait. They're unified, they're expectant, they're prepared, and they're surrendered. So what were they doing well? Well, just as we were told, Acts tells us that they needed to replace Judas after he turned over Jesus, right? That was something that they needed to do. And this speaks to the attitude of the group a little bit, because if you read Acts 1:24-25, it says, "Then they all prayed, O Lord, you know every heart. Show us which of these men you have chosen as an apostle to replace Judas in the ministry, for he has deserted us and gone where he belongs." So they were in this place of absolute surrender to what God had in store for them. They were just waiting, just praying, just seeking. And as you continue to read through Acts, you find out that through this attitude of surrender and desire to see God at work, you see what happens. And Acts 2:4 tells us that what happens next. So Acts 2:4, it says, "All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues," right? Other tongues, "as the Spirit enabled them." So notice this. They spoke. And the Spirit gave them the words. The Holy Spirit didn't take them over. It wasn't like they were possessed, but they were. But you know how, well, this is a whole other conversation. But they chose to surrender themselves and to speak the words that the Holy Spirit had given them. Does that make sense? It wasn't the Holy Spirit saying, "Well, I'm going to speak through you whether you like it or not." The Holy Spirit gave them the words. They were surrendered to allow him the words to come out. They spoke, the Spirit gave the words. Could you imagine what that would have been like? At that time, the celebration of Pentecost had just happened, or was happening, sorry. And the people from all over Jerusalem were there to celebrate this feast of Pentecost. We know it's early. Scripture tells us it's early. It's 9 a.m. And people are walking by, going to the celebration. And as they're walking by this building, all of a sudden, what happens? They hear languages that they don't understand. And Luke tells us they were bewildered. And more continue to gather, and they're amazed. And thousands gather around this building, this upper room, because they hear speaking in their own languages. Like, I don't know if you guys get how chaotic this must be. But Jesus was just crucified, went up to heaven, or rose to the end, went to heaven. And now all of a sudden, people are going to celebrate Pentecost, and there's other tongues, other languages coming out of this building. There's no microphones, it's just happening. People are speaking out in tongues. Could you imagine? So at that time, the celebration of Pentecost was happening. People from everywhere were there, right? It's a celebration, and this is happening. So let's read Acts 2:1-11. It says, "On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty thunderstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them ability. At that time there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. And when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running. And they were bewildered to hear their own language being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They explained. These people are all from Galilee, yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and all areas of Liberia and Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, and all of these people speaking in our own languages about wonderful things that God has done. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. So I'm going to pause there. And we're just going to talk for a second, a very small second, about history. Now, this is something that we as Pentecostals believe in. This is something that we as Pentecostals celebrate, is this spirit baptism, something that's available. And we're going to talk more about this as we go through it. But I want to give you a little bit of background here on kind of stuff that happened in Azusa Street, stuff that happened in Chicago, stuff that happened in some other churches that were actually like Anglican churches, which is really interesting. So when William Seymour, who was the modern day, I don't like using the word father, but he was the first pastor at Azusa Street. When they were having their service and the Azusa Street revival was happening, people would say, witnesses would say, and it was actually documented in the newspapers, not from people from church, but from bystanders, that they could see fire burning in these rooms of this building. And they could hear sounds, roaring sounds coming from this building. And the fire department was called in on multiple occasions to come through this building. And there was not one singed brick or piece of wood. So based on this scripture, we know what that was. It was Holy Spirit fire. Then we read about Durham, who was another pastor. He was a Baptist pastor originally, who went down and to experience part of this Azusa Street revival. He had a Holy Spirit experience where he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, spirit baptized, took it back to Chicago, and they had the same sort of thing happen in Chicago. And the funniest story was about, I believe it was Seattle, there was an Anglican pastor, Anglican priest, and they were there, and they had this Holy Spirit outpouring happening on the building, and it wasn't as part of their regular Sunday service because it wasn't something that they typically practiced. But it was part of their evening services, to the point where the fire department came and they actually evacuated every person out of this building. This was in the 60s. They evacuated every person out of this building because there was fire, flames being seen from this building, coming out the windows, on the roof, in the building, and through the windows they could see it. Holy Spirit power. Holy Spirit. These people didn't want to leave, by the way, when they were forced out of the building by the fire department. Because they weren't afraid. They knew what it was. Anyways, back to the message. So Luke tells us three times of their bewilderment. So how can we all hear them speaking in our native tongues? They were bewildered by this. And we just read that in verse 11. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own language. In Acts 10, we read about something like this happening again. This is great. Sorry, my note just didn't make sense there. That's why. It says, this is great and bold, and then I have points. So this is exciting. Let me explain why this is so exciting. So Peter and some other Jewish people, let me set the tone for you first before I jump into that story. Up until this point, who are the people in the upper room? Disciples, Jewish people, right? Who are the people in Jerusalem coming for Pentecost? More Jews. So at this point, this is why this is so exciting for me, and I'm kind of pumped up, and that's why I had the big boldness there on my notes. When up until this point, the Holy Spirit was just being experienced by these Jews, right? The Jewish people were who was experiencing. But then when we jump to this Acts chapter 10, as Peter is telling these Gentiles, Peter and some Jewish people are meeting with Cornelius, who's actually a Roman officer. And they're meeting with Cornelius' family, and there's just this large gathering of Gentiles together. And as Peter is telling these Gentiles about Jesus, something happens in Acts 10. Oh, she's already got it up. She's way ahead of me. It's perfect. And as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to this message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too. For they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. That's amazing, guys. This isn't just the Jews. This isn't just for the Jews. This is for the Gentiles. It's exciting. So why were they doing this? Because Peter was just telling them about how good Jesus is. He's just telling them about what Jesus did. He's just telling them about how good our God is. He's explaining to them all that had happened. And these people got fired up. It'd be like me just telling you here right now about how good our God is. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit would just fall and there'd be fire from the roof and you guys would all start speaking in tongues. That's what this is like. Doesn't that sound exciting? Because our God is too awesome to describe with words. So that's the first thing. When is the Holy Spirit seen as communicator? When we can't describe God by words. I just lost my note. First Corinthians 14:2 tells us what? Anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. See, when they're there and Peter's talking to them, they're not talking to Peter saying, "Hey, Peter, thanks." And they're not speaking in tongues telling them, "Thank you." They're speaking in tongues because they're edifying and glorifying how good God is from this story. There's no words to describe it. They're praising God, telling him, "We worship you, God," giving him all the glory and honor. See, sometimes our words fail, but our tongues won't. When we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us as communicator. A second time, we see the Holy Spirit as communicator is when we're articulating confusion or pain that is too inexpressible for words. So what do I mean by that? Well, Romans 8 let's just read Romans 8. Actually, we're going to read Romans 8? Yeah, let's read Romans 8. And then we'll explain this more. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Wordless groans, because the pain is that great. And he who searches our heart knows the mind of our spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. That's 8:26-27. See, we know that creation groans, do we not? We've heard it. Think of stuff even like tornadoes and tsunamis. Creation is groaning. Earthquakes. See, Scripture tells us that if we're not praising God, the rocks will cry out. Have we not read that? We groan as well. See, on earth, we see tragedy or death, and we know that things are not right. And all that we can do sometimes is just groan. How do you describe it when things go wrong? When people do something stupid, for instance. In our human condition, the Holy Spirit helps us when we are praying, and maybe we don't know what to pray. Have you ever had that time where you've seen something happen and you don't know what to say? There's just no words that can describe it. Have you prayed for God's direction? And there's several good options in front of you. And you're like, God, what do you think? How should this go, God? And maybe it's just like, I don't know. And there's just a groan in your spirit because you want to know what God has. Or maybe when we experience the betrayal of another person and you don't have the words to describe it. Or when we lose someone that we love, how do we find the words? And sometimes a groan is all that we can give. And that's just one example. But there are times we just don't know how to express or pray or what to say. And the Holy Spirit gives us words or groans that only He understands, but only He needs to understand. Because, as we read earlier, that's not for us. I'm not speaking in tongues and for Gary's benefit or Nathan's benefit or Patrick's benefit or anybody's benefit, but God's. And we read that a few moments ago in Scripture. When we're groaning and praying in the Spirit, we could be praying more on target than when we fumble around looking for English words. Amen? Because it's the Spirit speaking through us, because the Spirit knows. How do I know? Other than when the Holy Spirit speaks to me and tells me. That's the only way. And sometimes He just doesn't give me English words to describe it. Sometimes in our utmost confusion, in our deepest pain, the Holy Spirit searches our hearts and comes up with the right words that are in accordance with the will of God. And isn't this amazing when this happens, when it's not our words, but it's the Spirit's speaking through us. And Paul tells us to pray with our mind and pray with our spirit. It's when we don't have the words, when we don't know what it is that stirred us into prayer, but God knows, and we just pray supernaturally in the Spirit. It just happens because the Spirit is our communicator. I just love sometimes how the Spirit gives us words. I need a moment here. I forgot to do something, and I apologize for this. Nora, I need your mom. Can you go sit in the Sunday school room for a second? I apologize, guys. I had fully intended to talk to Stacy about this. So, I don't even know what to say, because this story is something I need to share, but I need Stacy. Just talk amongst yourselves for a second. We're done talking amongst ourselves. I needed to ask Stacy for permission to share this story, because it's quite a personal story. So as many of you know, Stacy was raised in a Mennonite background, and speaking in tongues wasn't something that was common in her upbringing and her background. It just wasn't. And she's probably going to listen to this later and think, you didn't tell it right, but I'm going to do my best, okay? So 7 or 8 years ago, Stacy's sister was pregnant with a baby boy and had carried this baby to full term, and a week before he was due, he passed away. And Stacy was praying, because we believed for a miracle. We believed that baby would have breath. And Stacy was praying, and she had never spoken in tongues up until that point, but the heartache, and she just didn't have the words to say. And all of a sudden, she just started speaking in tongues. And that's sometimes how the Spirit, when you don't have the words to say, sometimes the Spirit just speaks to you and just gives you the words to say. And I didn't want to share that story without her permission, so I apologize for taking a moment. But it's times like that where the Spirit just speaks to you and you speak the words that He's given you, because those are far more powerful words than trying to fumble around with English. It makes sense that God would send the Holy Spirit alongside us to give us the words to minister us, to heal us in our pain, and to help us process when things like that happen, right? Giving us words to say because we're going through something so deep. It's too deep for words. See, and as I read earlier about the Holy Spirit, and what did I say? The Holy Spirit speaking tongues is for the purpose of glorifying God, not for glorifying man. But the other thing is, anyone who speaks in tongues strengthens themselves in times like this. As we see in 1 Corinthians 14:4. Sorry. When we have a challenge articulating confusion and pain that's too inexpressible for words, the Holy Spirit will speak and give us the words. The Holy Spirit will give us the words that are needed to strengthen us, even when we don't sometimes make sense of them. The third point. We use, or Holy Spirit is our communicator. When communicating spiritual reality, too supernatural for words. So here's three situations. The first situation is when Jesus told his disciples to go and be my witnesses. What do we know when Jesus told his disciples that? Did he say anything about other languages or other tongues? Did he? No. He only talked about one thing, and that was empowerment. That's what Jesus said. Go there, gather together, and you're going to be empowered. So they needed to be empowered and enabled to take the story out so that this story could be fully understood by those that hear it. They needed power. And did you notice what it was called when they spoke in tongues? It was a sign. So what is the difference between a sign and what the sign points towards? Do you know? I'll try to explain this differently. So imagine we're next week, and Gary tells some people from work to come to church. We're having Easter Sunday. It's going to be great. And, you know, good people. And it's just going to be a good time of encouragement. It's Easter. You should come. And so the following week, or following day at work, he sees them. And he says, hey, did you come? I didn't see you. And he said, yeah, we came. I went to Rosetown Community Church this week. And it's got a great sign out front. There's a nice logo outside. You know, I love that saying, love God by loving people. That's great. So what did you think of the people? Well, we didn't go in. We didn't go into the building. We just went to the sign. See, that's what they did at Pentecost. They saw the sign. They heard them speaking in other languages, and they made an assumption. They thought that was kind of cool. Maybe they were amazed. But until Peter went out and declared to them that this is not about the tongues, this is about Jesus. That's what it was about. See, these aren't drunkards. It's only 9 o'clock. They thought that's what was the comment, right? They must be drunk. Well, these aren't drunkards. It's only 9 o'clock. It's not about the words, he said. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. And this is what Joel talked about, but it's about Jesus. And he refers the people who were there at Pentecost, at the Passover feast, the same people who saw what happened to Jesus through his death and saw him resurrected and saw the same Jesus has gone up to heaven to be with God the Father, and now that he has sent the Spirit as a sign that we can let you know how he has transformed our lives, that how Jesus has transformed us. That's the purpose of the Spirit. It's the sign. Over 3,000 people that day, when Peter was speaking, said yes to Jesus. They said yes to Jesus. But notice, not one of them said yes to Jesus because Peter spoke in tongues. Not one. When Peter stood up and spoke, the Holy Spirit gave him the words to say. Because it's about Jesus. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, gave him the words. Gave him the power. Gave him the authority. So the second example goes right in kind of in line with that. And it's only logical and sensible that the Spirit baptism, that speaking in tongues, will allow people to witness. Right? Then we ought to be able to go anywhere and minister because we have Spirit baptism. Wouldn't that mean that? If we walk in that authority and that mindset and that example that Peter gave us, well, that's what we find. So there's a third-party study conducted about missionaries and people who evangelize, who go out and share the gospel. Not a Pentecostal study, but a third party. And from the results of asking people who were being taught and blessed by missionaries, it would appear that 85% of the people that were, or 85% of the churches were established were based on Pentecostalism and the Pentecostal movement. Because the study says that the overwhelming ingredient in sharing the gospel, the overwhelming ingredient in doing missional work like that is the Holy Spirit factor. Because the Holy Spirit operates in the lives of Pentecostals. It's just not, well, I accepted Jesus, so I guess I got the Spirit in me, and we're all mild and meek about it, and we're just like, oh, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't want to offend anybody. No, we have Holy Spirit authority and power. And when we get Holy Spirit authority and power in us, we should very easily, overwhelmingly be able to go out and share Holy Spirit authority and power out there. Because it's not a Holy Spirit power just for in here. That was a really weak hand slap. See, the study says that. The ingredient is the Holy Spirit. That's what this study, not a Pentecostal study, just a study on missionaries. It's the drive for living worship. The Holy Spirit is that driver. See, we as Pentecostals need to experience Holy Spirit power corporately and privately, both of them. We can't just keep it in a box and say, well, I guess I got it when I got saved, but it's not for out there. We're not going to use the voice. I know. Thanks, Spirit, for speaking to me. No, He deserves all honor and praise. It makes sense that in Scripture, when we read that you will receive power when the Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. See, those two go hand in hand, don't they? Spirit and power and witnesses. They're in the same sentence. It doesn't say, you will receive power when the Spirit comes upon me, and maybe you'll be my witnesses. Maybe you'll go out there in authority. No! We will get authority when we get Holy Spirit, when we become saved, and we need to make a decision whether we're going to walk through it or not. Are we going to walk in power? Are we going to walk in authority? Are we going to walk in victory? Are we going to walk fully as God had designed? Right? It's a drive for living worship. Doesn't that make sense? The third example is when I met with people from other beliefs. I worked with some Muslims. And we'll call him a friend to be nice. But he was a Muslim guy, and he really tried to just push his Muslim. Because it's a workplace, you can't preach Jesus, obviously, or else they fire you or send you to diversity training. So I met with him. He wanted to chat. So I was like, hey, let's meet. Let's have a chat. So he really wanted to chat when he found out I was Pentecostal, because he really wanted to talk about it. So I prayed before him, and I think I was kind of his science experiment, more than a friend. So I'm being nice when I call him a friend. But he thought he was going to make me look silly. And the first thing he said was, so you're a Christian, eh? And I'm like, yep. And he said, a Pentecostal, no less. And then he asked me, do you speak in tongues? I said, yes, but that's not the most important thing I do. And he's like, what? What do you mean? I said, well, it's about Jesus. And I told him about Jesus and the authority that I have because I walk with Jesus. And the Holy Spirit gives me authority and walks with me and leads me and guides me. And I told him that I speak in tongues, but it's not for anything other than empowering me to minister. It's for ministry. And when I don't have the words, it's for giving me the words right now to speak to you, I said. He didn't know what to say. I don't think he saw that coming. See, I told him flat out, God is telling me exactly what to say to you right now. Because I don't know what to say. You know a lot about being a Muslim. I have no idea. But I'm telling you about the power of Jesus. That my Jesus died and was rose again. My Jesus gave me authority to walk in victory. And my Jesus told me to go love you and to tell you about him. See, the conversation really went sideways for him. And he didn't know what to say. And I didn't know what I was really saying. I was just, whatever the Spirit was giving me in my brain, I was saying. God gave me those words. And so many times it happens to many of us, doesn't it? It's about leading others to him. It's about helping others. So we jump to Acts 2, 38 to 39. It says, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. So I want to say this. If you've never been Spirit baptized, you're every bit as much of a believer as if you have been Spirit baptized. That's not what this is about. That's not what I'm saying here. But I'm saying is there's a different authority when you walk, when you've been Spirit baptized. See, Spirit baptism doesn't make you a Christian. Spirit baptism empowers you. Right? Spirit baptism doesn't say, well, I guess now I'm finally a Christian. I can speak in tongues. No, that's not what it's about. And please don't hear me. And don't tell somebody that. Well, you don't speak in tongues? Guess you're not going to heaven. That's not what it's about. Not at all. Don't ever hear that. But what I'm encouraging you about is the power that comes with Spirit baptism. Spirit baptism empowers us after we become Christians. Just like in the book of Acts. They were already followers of Jesus, weren't they? That's what we read. They were already following him. Then they had this power pack come through them as the baptism of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you, I got a story for you. I've gone to the lake fishing with a bunch of buddies from our church, my last church, two churches ago, I guess. And we went fishing, and we had some really nice cabins. Not so nice. None of them had bathrooms. And if you looked, if I was laying on my bed and I looked, and there's about a 1-inch gap under the door. And those of you that know I'm scared of mice. Well, I'm laying there, and I got to go to the bathroom. We're in the middle of bear country. And all of a sudden, I see a mouse run under the door. This is great. How much better can it be? Anyways, so I just got my first iPhone. And I got to go to the bathroom. I see a mouse, so I'm like, I'm not going out without a flashlight. And I knew these iPhones had a flashlight, so I flipped it on. And I'm walking out. I open the door, go on the deck that was half rotten, and I miss the bottom stair, and I land on my face, almost next to the fire pit. Didn't have enough light. I couldn't see fully where I was going. I needed more light. See, while I was sitting there, 6 months later, I was playing with my cell phone, and I was looking at it and trying all the different features, and all of a sudden I discovered there was an option to make my flashlight on my cell phone brighter so I could see more, so I could actually walk more securely and safely because I could fully illuminate everywhere I was going. I slid the slider up on the screen, and I was like, wow, it's a flashlight, not just a flicker. Why didn't anybody tell me about this before? Who else knew about this? And I asked guys from my church, I'm like, well, I knew you could do it. Just brighten it up. It's just a little more power. Just slide it up. I was like, where were you? Why didn't you tell me? Why did you let me walk in a little more darkness? I could have walked safely. I could have had a little more security when as I was walking. I could have had that power in my pocket to get down the stairs, go to the bathroom, and walk back. Instead, you let me lay in there without some of that power on the ground next to the fire pit. What would you have done if I had hit my head on the metal? See, that's kind of what this is like. Kind of. See, we get the Holy Spirit when we're saved, don't we? We get Him. The Holy Spirit lives in us when we become saved. The Holy Spirit is life. The Holy Spirit guides us. He wants to give us gifts. But wouldn't it be nice to have that little bit of extra power to enable us in those gifts? To enable us in ministry? To enable us in sharing even more powerfully? See, the Holy Spirit wants to slide up that adjustment and shine brighter in us. And not just be there. Not just be a flicker. And that's what Holy Spirit baptism is. More than just a flicker, guys. But a bright light. I'm going to ask the music team to come up while I finish up. So the Holy Spirit is communicator. Is our communicator when describing something too awesome for words. The goodness of God, the love of God, what He sent His Son Jesus here for us, that His Son Jesus died for us. Describing that. I mean, I can say that, but does that give you the full picture, the full gamut of how good our God is? Not even a little bit. The second thing is articulating confusion or pain to an expressible for words, for human words. And like I said, I used that example of Stacy and how the Holy Spirit spoke to her when she didn't have the words. The third thing was communicating spiritual reality that are too supernatural for words. It's help when you pray when you don't know how to pray. Or when you are so burdened, He gives you the language to pray. You're not left speechless when you have the Holy Spirit. He helps you pray when you're praising God and when you run out of words that you don't know how to fully describe how good He is. You're not speechless anymore. When you go out to witness and Spirit baptism has happened in your life, you have more power and authority. You have some more power in your pocket. You pray and the Holy Spirit always speaks wisdom to you so that you know just what to say. You're not left speechless. I've got some stuff I'm going to be sending out. I promised it before. I've been having some technical difficulties. When I get it working this week, I will be putting it online, and I will let you know on Wednesday that it's working. I have a lot of tests to make it work, but it's something that I think is a bit of a reality check for us, and it just talks about the Spirit baptism and the Holy Spirit. I hope you guys are encouraged. I hope you're not discouraged and say, well, I don't agree with that, Pastor Dave. We all get the Holy Spirit when we get saved. And that's what I've said that how many times today. You get the Holy Spirit when you get saved. It's about receiving that power. It's about sliding that slider up on your flashlight to having the full brightness. Because that's what Jesus told him. Go back and get that power. There's power coming. And what happened when that power came? They spoke in other tongues. And we're going to talk more about this in the coming weeks. It's not just a one and done. There's a lot to this, guys. But I want you to be encouraged. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray now. And we're going to pray for lunch. And we'd like some help just setting up some tables. Mary's going to lead us in a song. First, we're going to pray, song, set up tables. We're not going to do the tables first. But would you guys stand and just pray with us? Father God, we thank You for who You are. God, we thank You that You sent Your Spirit, Father, to lead us, to guide us, to give us breath, and to give us this communicator, this gift of communicator, of the communicator. God, that I pray that we would walk in that authority, that we would speak those words when You give them to us. Father, I pray that for each and every person right now, that they would be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to be their communicator. God, I pray that as we continue to walk through this journey together, that there would be a new and greater understanding for each of us. Father, we love you. Father, we thank you. And God, today as we just continue to meet and have lunch together, Father, I pray that you would just give us an encouraging time to just encourage each other. Let us have a good conversation. Father, just bless our time. Father, protect us this week. In Jesus' name, amen. I also forgot, if you didn't bring food, stay anyway. There's lots of food.